And welcome in, everybody. This is the Central Ice Podcast here. First episode. My name is Jeremy.
I'm Arian.
Nice. All right. And this is our first episode here. We're going to kind of take time here just a little bit to introduce ourselves and kind of what we're about. Go through our division predictions for the whole entire year. And just kind of like some news and notes, since we're kind of getting off on a late start here from the NHL season. There's been about a week's worth of play that's been done. It's about like 5 or 6 days, right, Arian?
Yeah, it started Tuesday. So I believe everybody got about 2 games in, roughly, so far.
Roughly, yeah, yeah. With the exception of a few teams. But yeah, generally, that's kind of what it's been. I mean, wow, what a great first week of action so far. I mean, there's been some good, some bad, and definitely some ugly going on. But I guess we can just start out with introductions. I'll start with you, Arian, if you want to go first.
All right, yeah. So like I said, my name is Arian, Arian Johnston. I'm with BaselineTimes.com. Jeremy's new to our squad now, so this is our first NHL coverage that we're doing. Usually we do NBA, college football, NFL, so we're kind of diving into the NHL this season. So yeah, I'm just that's pretty much it.
Yeah, and I'm Jeremy Case. I like Arian said, I'm new here to Baseline Times, and we are venturing out, kind of spreading our wings here. I'm very, very honored and very privileged to have this opportunity to expand out into the NHL world and bring that sport into the spectrum of what a Baseline covers as well. So it's good to be aboard. Hopefully you know, I can just fit right in with everybody else. That's just the hope.
Yeah, we got you on the Discord. You fit in just fine.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's kind of get into it with the first week of action here. Kind of some notes from what I've been seeing from around the league here. Kind of specifically, I kind of wanted to start out in the West Division here. Now the NHL, as we know, this year is going to be scaled a little bit differently. The divisions have been realigned because of COVID and everything else that's going on, and Canada not necessarily letting their teams leave the country or having any teams come into their country. So with that being said, we've got a little bit of alignment, but we'll get to that just a realignment. We'll get to that just a little bit. But I kind of wanted to start out West. And from what I've seen in the first week, Arian, I don't know if you really noticed it or watched as many games, broad amount of games as I have. But man, do the California teams ever have a tough time shutting the door on games. This whole first week's with specifically with LA, Anaheim. You know, LA took Minnesota to overtimes of both nights.
Yep.
And couldn't shut the door, and Minnesota won both of those games. Anaheim, you know, absolutely got boat raced in the first game by Vegas, but then kind of showed a little bit of flurry of life in the second game there. Played some good D right up until about the last 10 minutes of the third period, and then 7 seconds into overtime, got annihilated by the Knights as well. I mean, it's kind of tough for those California teams, but then again, you know, I believe the Kings or the Ducks did not go into the bubble last year. So, you know, it's going to take a minute for, just like in the NBA, as we're seeing, it's taking a little bit for everybody to get going.
Yeah. We didn't have a preseason, did they?
No, there was no preseason. There was only probably about a week and a half of training camp.
So there you go.
Yeah, training camp started January 3rd when we got back, basically from the new year. Then it kind of started in. So a week out from the season, only a week of training camp. And most of these teams, you know, haven't really played since March of last year. really, because when it all shut down and then they didn't get back into the bubble, they just kind of took basically a little bit under a year off and hadn't really played or skated because they couldn't because of COVID, you know, everything, especially down there in California, everything. I mean, you should know probably Arian more than anybody else, cause you live down there. It's tight.
Yeah.
It's very restrictive. It's hard to really go anywhere if you're in the big cities, kind of like Anaheim and LA are.
Yeah. Especially the big cities, everything's shut down. So maybe, conditioning, like you said, and it'll probably all pick back up here soon. Hopefully everyone gets into the rhythm. Or they don't. Hopefully the Ducks could do something. Because, yeah, that first game, I was excited when it was 2-2. But then after that, what was it, the second period? It was just, the Kings scored like three more on them or something. Yeah, I think it was.
Oh, you mean the Knights?
Yeah, what I say, Kings. Yeah, I'm at the Knights.
You said the Kings?
I'm looking at the thing now, and I don't know why I'm looking at. Yeah, I'm looking at. Yeah. So, like you said, maybe the conditioning is off right now. That's what it kind of looks like to me a little bit. Maybe everyone's a little sluggish. But then again, some teams, like you said, some other ones are kicking ass, you know? Like,
absolutely. Like the Arizona Coyotes. Man, yeah. What a very strong first two games they had coming out the gate. I mean, they look absolutely on fire. I mean, especially like Phil Kessel, within these first two games here, he's had three goals. It took him almost 30 games to get to that mark last year, which is insane. He's already got three goals. He's kind of had a resurgence here. Maybe the time off helps some teams like Arizona, filled with some very, very seasoned veteran guys. Probably needed that time off. Now they have feeling a little bit of resurgence, man, because right now, I'll tell you, Pittsburgh is probably kicking themselves right in the ass for letting him go. I mean, this guy come out the gate. I mean, he looks like Phil Kessel of those teams that he was with Crosby, Malkin, and all them.
Yeah.
You know, he's definitely looking like the Phil Kessel of old. And then Oliver Ekman-Larsson, I mean, absolutely just great as well. He's accumulated a good amount of points, you know, throughout these first two games. And then their new guy they got, their rookie Clayton Keller. I mean, wow, what a sniping guy he is. Like, he knows where to position himself in front of the net. He knows how to, he's a playmaker. He's an absolute playmaker. He knows exactly where to be positioned right out in front of the net or where he needs to pass it to get that goal. And very, very amazing showing by the Arizona Coyotes here in the first two games as well.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting them to be this good this quick. What is going on with the Kraken?
So the Seattle Kraken, as we all know, is going to be the NHL's 32nd franchise. They will get started in October of this year, the fall of this year. They're going to have the expansion draft in July of this year. The expansion draft will be held right after the season concludes, probably about 2 or 3 weeks afterwards, and then they will join the league in what is expected to be a start date of October, barring how COVID goes, but that is what the NHL has tentatively planned for.
Where are they going? What, the West, I'm assuming?
Yeah, I guess... what the rumor had it right up until these divisions obviously got realigned this year was that they were going to go into the Pacific Division. That would be in the Pacific Division.
Yeah.
With what was tentatively like Arizona, Vancouver, Anaheim, LA, Arizona, and Calgary, right? Those were all kind of those tentative teams in the Pacific.
Yeah.
If I can remember from what I remembered. Yeah, they're set to play in the fall of 2021-2022.
Okay.
That's kind of the season they're expected to join. Yeah, absolutely a lot of hype around up here in and around Seattle.
Yeah,
forgot to mention that. That's where I'm staying up around is in Seattle. So a lot of hype. I mean, you go anywhere, any store, any really anywhere, and it's just kind of like how the Seahawks are up here. It's this Kraken gear is everywhere. I see it on everybody.
Yeah, that's how Vegas was. I went to Vegas last month, and it was just Knights gear everywhere. Anywhere you went, just that black and gold, just everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Vegas was a great choice for the NHL to expand to, but, Seattle is as well. We all know any true sports fan really knows the passion of Seattle. I mean, I kind of, and it's kind of one of those things you really don't truly understand until you're up here. Like, when I first moved up here, I like, wearing a Seahawks jersey is a choice of uniform at your place of employment. That's how damn passionate they are. Like, I'm a delivery man. I make deliveries. That's what I do. And I go constantly, every day, I go from like shop to store, and there's at least one employee every single day that I see that has some sort of Seahawks gear, jersey on, like any day of the week. That's an acceptable employment uniform, which is just absolutely nuts. Like, I can't imagine, like, I don't know. I was born and raised in Denver, so, you know, whenever we worked in, like, I worked in restaurant industry a lot, and, like, Sundays during the football season, okay, you're allowed to wear a jersey. But it was definitely not a regular uniform option day to day, which was really is just insane. So I can only imagine what the Kraken are going to bring to that. And, now with the growing rumors as well, there's a lot of growing rumors and sentiment up here that the Sonics are going to return as well, along with the Kraken. Again, those are just strictly rumors and speculation, but it's nuts. That's for sure. I hope that, you know, they allow fans when they open, because I would definitely like to go up there and see that. They've already sold out all their season ticket deposits.
Oh, wow.
They're all sold out. You can't get any season tickets to the Seattle Kraken. So they definitely have the fan support and the fan base here for them to succeed as a team. Plus, not to mention, they have the same owner as the Vegas Golden Knights did when they drafted. So always good there.
Yeah, I was kind of, well, a little bummed now, because I was really liking to see them play this year. I didn't know they were taking a... till October, so it's a little bummer, but I guess we'll have to wait.
It was kind of weird with the way that they did it, because they made this huge hype video online, and then they went down to the arena and unveiled the logo, and I was like, okay, so that means, you know, this year.
Yeah, coming soon, getting ready.
Right, because that's typically a way a marketing strategy goes, and that's kind of how it worked with the Knights too. I believe, like, as soon as they unveiled everything, it was like that season they were up and running.
Yeah, I believe it was. It was quick.
I think COVID had a part to play in that too. I think COVID seriously delayed a lot of things, because I typical thinking is like, you know, when you unveil a new team like this to a city that's so fat passionate with their sports fans, you know, you want to have fans there and in attendance.
Yeah.
You want to have fans there. You don't. It's kind of hard to, especially with and the NHL being a sport that strictly relies on fan revenue to for everything. You know, they rely on that ticket money and those fan money to bring in a lot of revenue to the league, and that's kind of what drives the salary cap in the league and the salary in general.
Yes.
So, I mean, that I'm thinking that played a huge, huge part in whether or not they were going to go that year, or just, it was kind of like a wait and see thing, just kind of like how everything else in the world was. That's kind of how I saw it.
Yeah, I bet COVID did have a lot to do with it. I totally forgot about... I don't know why I keep forgetting about COVID, but... it's fucking...
I think it's just because you and I both go to work still.
Yeah.
So, like, for anybody who goes to work, it doesn't really seem like much has changed. Except for, you know, when you're going in and out of stores, or, you know, the way you do certain things that you normally didn't do in life. I think for the most part, for the working man, it doesn't feel like anything's changed. Like, there's times where I forget as well, like, oh shit, there's a virus, you know, going on. Can't do that, you know.
Yeah.
Like I look at some of these games, and or I'm like, I'm thinking about this upcoming season, and I'm admittedly a Colorado Avalanche fan, and I'm like, damn, dude, if the Avs are right there in the finals, in the Stanley Cup final, you know, I really want to go to a game, and then I'm like, shit, it's COVID. They're not allowing any fans. Well, some teams are not. But yeah. More teams are not than more teams are. And yeah, it just kind of doesn't, I guess to the common working person, it doesn't seem like there's a virus because it just doesn't feel like anything changed. I get up, I go to work, I come home, you know, just like everybody else does. So I don't know. It is kind of weird in a lot of aspects. Yeah, and another thing I wanted to talk about as well is, you know, seems like with that North Division, man, all Canadian division, as I like to refer to it, a lot of the Western Canadian teams struggling out the gate here. You know, Calgary and Edmonton getting absolutely lit up, you know, in these first couple of games, you know, not really looking too strong as we'd like to think, you know, especially with Edmonton. You know, you got McDavid and Draisaitl on that front line there. And, you know, you think with all that talent, especially with how strong of a year that they both had last year. I mean, Draisaitl, was he the MVP? Or he was in the MVP running for the whole season there, even when it resumed. You know, you think that would kind of carry on. But, you know, I guess Canada's been kind of strict with the COVID lockdowns as well.
Yes, I believe they are. They're pretty...
It took till about almost the 13th hour for all the provinces to even get on board to agree to let the teams play in their provinces.
So that whole North Division is just going to play against each other?
Yep. Yeah, Canada has pretty much sealed off its border. It's not allowing their teams to go out, and they're not allowing any teams to come in. And it's just with hockey. I mean, they told the Toronto Raptors. Yeah, they told Drake. No, they told the Toronto Raptors to basically kick rocks, go find some other place to play your home games. And then they told the Toronto Blue Jays over the last baseball season, go kick rocks, go find some other place to play your home games. So it's very, very weird with that with Canada. But yeah, they're not allowing anybody in or out of that country, at least until the playoffs, which hopefully by then this whole COVID situation will ease up a little bit and can allow for that travel.
Yeah, I agree.
But yeah, I mean, they're Edmonton, Calgary kind of struggling out the gate, but man, on the other side though, over there, Toronto and Montreal. Just wow. And you know, Toronto obviously with the biggest acquisition this year, bringing big Jumbo Joe Joel Thornton in, you know, to bring him in along with Austin Matthews, and to bring him into with John Tavares as well, you know, giving that squad of some veteran boosts. You know, the pressure of Toronto, we all know as NHL fans, is absolutely tremendous there with the press. And I mean, Toronto, the Maple Leafs are basically like, I don't know, the Dallas Cowboys of hockey.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's got their eyeballs on them constantly, no matter how they're doing, and they're very highly scrutinized in Canada. So, I mean, Toronto's looking really good. Jumbo Joe got his first goal last night, you know, right there. And they're looking very, very strong, as well as Montreal is. You know, they, I think they had a couple of key acquisitions in the offseason, but they're looking really great on that east side of Canada. And, you know, Ottawa's a dark horse as well. You know, I'd really watch what Ottawa's doing. They're really starting to come into themselves and starting to build a little bit of a base there. I know they're having a little bit of trouble with their arena and the ownership there. Things are not really so good on that front, but it really seems like with all these draft picks and young prospects they're picking up in the drafts, it seems to be kind of really turning out for them to where they can, you know, get some traction going and get some stars over there.
So out of the North, who do you got?
So, yeah, I guess we can get right into the division predictions here. Let me just get over here to my... so out of the North, so here's the way it goes. Let's just break it down for everybody, because it is different too with the hockey with the playoff structure as well. So top four teams from each division will move on to the playoffs. The first two rounds of the playoffs will be intradivisional, with the first place team playing the fourth place team and the second place team facing the third place team in the first round. The four teams that advance from the second round to the semifinal round will be seeded to their points total in the regular season. So number one versus number four, number two versus number three. So that's kind of how it's structuring out. So we'll start in the North Division. So with the North Division, I have Toronto obviously winning that division. I think you bring in leadership like Joe Thornton in. It really adds to that team. Austin Matthews, John Tavares, big time goal and point production. I can't see anybody else right there in that Canadian division really keeping up with the Toronto Maple Leafs. Who did you have winning that first one?
I don't know a lot about the North and Canada hockey, so I picked the Maple Leafs too. No, the Maple Leafs.
Okay.
Toronto, yeah, I just not too familiar with it is basically the Canadian division. But right. Yeah, I picked Toronto. I also like Calgary, okay. But they got blown out, and I didn't like their first game, I think. Didn't like what I watched. Oh, no.
Yeah, but you got to admit, man, in that first game, absolutely, in that first game was like I don't know if you saw that save that their goalie made. He basically lost his stick. He came out to play the puck behind the net and somehow lost his stick. Other team got it, almost shot it in. Their defenseman came out in front, blocked it, and then he got around off the rebound and just snatched it with his glove, stickless completely. Like, it was just an absolute sick save. But yeah, I had Calgary in there. Like, I had Toronto, second Edmonton, third Calgary, and then fourth, like I said, that dark horse Ottawa. I have them grabbing that fourth and last spot to get into the playoffs there, because I think they got a really good young core, and if they can keep it together, and if you know the ownership can really realize what they have in front of them, they can really put something very, very decent together with all those draft prospects they've gotten together. So that's my order for my four teams I see getting in the playoffs.
All right. I just picked Toronto. I didn't pick the next three.
That's fine. That's all right. No worries. So I guess we can, there from the North, move on to the West Division.
All right.
With that being, those being in the division, Anaheim, Arizona, Colorado Kings, Minnesota Wild, San Jose Sharks, St. Louis Blues, and the Vegas Golden Knights. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I got Vegas for sure. I like Colorado, and I like Minnesota too. I want to throw my Ducks in there, but I'm just throwing them in there because it's my team. So there's not really anything behind that. But I do like Vegas. They whooped us, and 7 seconds in the OT is embarrassing.
Yeah, I mean, you certainly could make a case for Vegas, you know, winning this division. It's kind of like right now, within the first week of play, you know, it's kind of like Vegas and Colorado. Like, I have obviously a little bit of bias behind it, but I do have Colorado winning this division, hanging an 8th spot on St. Louis in the second game, where they move Landeskog up from the second line to the first line, and it just made the world of difference. I mean, first night they came out the gate, it didn't really look that great, but you know, they made some a little bit of adjustments. They got Brandon Saad from the Chicago Blackhawks over. You know, they had a few key additions, and you know, Joe Sakic's made it known that if moves need to be made, moves will be made to do whatever he's got pretty much the do what it takes mentality to win the Stanley Cup this year. I mean, obviously, you got one of the best hockey players in the world, Nathan MacKinnon, on your team. you know, there's just no doubting that. I don't know how in the past like three seasons he has not won an MVP. I know he's been in the running. I know he's been in the consideration for it. But in my opinion, Nathan MacKinnon has virtually outplayed any one of those MVP candidates. I mean, it's a tight race, and it's ultimately decided by the players. But I can't see Colorado not winning that. And then I had Vegas in a close second. I also have St. Louis third. You know, they're and Vegas and St. Louis for that second and third spot can be changed out at any given time because St. Louis is a very strong team as well. I mean, you know, with the strong leadership they have with Ryan O'Reilly and everything else, they're looking strong. And then, like you said, I have Minnesota grabbing that fourth and last spot. They just with the way they played the Kings with those young core guys that they have, and then they have, you know, they have Talbot as their goalie. I mean, they look very, very strong. Very strong to make a little bit of noise. I mean, we kind of saw them make a little bit of noise last year in the bubble, trying to make a case for themselves to get in. But, you know, this year I think they'll get over that hump. You know, barring anything that COVID doesn't get to the NHL like it already kind of has, with the Dallas game, the two Dallas games being postponed. But, yeah, that's who I got for my West Division.
Yeah, I like it. I got Vegas, Minnesota, Colorado, and I just threw my Ducks in there, but I think St. Louis way better than Ducks. But
For sure. I mean,
that's my favorite.
St. Louis is a gritty team.
Division. I really like the West.
That's a lot. It's a pretty weak division as you get from like the bottom half down to it. I mean, obviously, you know, you're talking about Arizona, San Jose, you know, the LA Kings. It's there's kind of a clear oil and water separation there within that division. But, I mean, it's not to say that it won't be entertaining at times, for sure, because, you know, each team is going to play each other like seven or eight times. So there's definitely going to be reasons to spoil other teams' hopes and dreams of playoff positioning, seeding, and all that type of stuff. So, that's what I got for the West Division. We want to move on to the Central. And the Central is Carolina, Chicago, Columbus, Dallas, Detroit, Florida, Nashville, and Tampa Bay. What were your picks for this, Arian?
I like Tampa Bay for sure, number one. I haven't watched any games besides their first one. And besides that, Chicago, I know they're missing a key player. What's his name? He's out for the season. What's his name? For the Blackhawks?
Was it Corey Crawford?
No.
I mean, he retired, obviously.
No. I forgot.
Was it Jonathan Taves or Patrick Kane?
Yeah, it was Jonathan, right?
Yeah. Jonathan Taves, yeah.
Kane's still in, I believe.
Yeah, Patrick Kane is still in there. I believe Jonathan Taves is out for the season.
Well, they're getting worked right now by Florida, 4-2 in the third. So,
wow.
I like Tampa Bay. That's all I picked. Like you said, Dallas hasn't played. Tonight's Florida's first game. Chicago is not looking very good. How's Nashville looking?
Nashville's actually looking pretty good. They kind of had some questions about starting goaltending, you know, there for a little bit, but it seems like they found their guys. They got a pretty two solid goaltenders there with the two-headed monster there with Pekka Rene and their other option there, but. These first two games that come out of the gate, I mean, they seem pretty strong. So, I mean, they're looking pretty good. I mean, obviously, I have Tampa winning this division because they're the defending Stanley Cup champions, mm-hmm. You know, and they only lost, I think, one person off their roster from last year. So not much has really changed. I mean, from there, they got really strong goaltending, you know, and, just a complete team all around. And then second I have Dallas, You know, I don't see them going anywhere. Anton Khudobin, really strong presence last year, obviously knocked out my Colorado Avalanche in the playoffs there in the second round of the Western Conference semifinals there, and then even went to the Stanley Cup. You know, you can't really count them out as well. That there's something to be said with them. You know, with Jamie Benn, and you know they got I keep forgetting who they have all there, but there's definitely a good solid core of players there, veteran players that they didn't really go anywhere. And then I have third is Columbus. You know, I believe Columbus has a really good young team as well, especially with John Tortorella there as their head coach. You know, he expects nothing but the best, and he knows exactly how to get the most out of his players when it matters. So definitely a good choice there, a good young up-and-coming team with Columbus. And then the Carolina Hurricanes as well. I mean, how can you not with them? I mean, Svechnikov, you know, the celebrations, the wildness, and the weirdness that kind of is the Carolina Hurricanes. I really enjoy them and really like, they're a fun team to watch for sure. A fun young team to watch is Carolina Hurricanes.
And that's your three?
That's my four. Oh, I got four. So Tampa, Dallas, Columbus, Carolina.
Okay. Sounds good.
Sounds good. All right. And moving on to the East Division now. It's Boston, Buffalo, so the Bruins, Sabres, New Jersey Devils, New York Islanders, New York Rangers, Philadelphia Flyers, Pittsburgh Penguins, and the Washington Capitals. This is probably one of the most stacked divisions besides that North Canadian division.
Yeah,
in the United States.
This one's pretty and lit for sure.
This is going to be the division that has the, to me, that has the less, that has the path of least resistance to the playoffs, because they're all close to each other on that East Coast. There's really hardly any traveling going on there. I mean, 2, 3, 8, 3, 4, maybe 5 hours of most travel in between all those teams. So I can't really see why they travel would be a consideration or an issue for any of these teams. But I definitely have Boston coming out of the first. I mean, I know they lost to Dana Chara to the Washington Capitals, but you know, they still have a good solid core there with Patrice Bergeron. You know, they still have Pasternak. They still have Charlie McAvoy. You know, they still got Tuukka Rask in net. So, I mean, still their solid core of what got them to the dance. Obviously, none of the fans in Boston are really too happy with the way the Chara incident ended. You know, I mean, that was a really good solid core in their back end. But I don't think that's really that huge of a loss for them. I just think it was more like a fandom loss more than it was a big piece missing loss. I mean, because, you know, we've seen Chara today in action with the Capitals, and you know, he looks pretty solid, but then again, he is a very seasoned veteran, you know, and he's there to make the game physical. But I have them, and then I have the Pittsburgh Penguins in the second. You know, not much has changed there over the with the same faces there, Crosby, Malkin. You know, now they got that goaltender Jerry or whatever his name is. He's really good. Why am I spacing on the name?
For Boston?
Goaltender for the Vegas Golden Knights right now. No, for Pittsburgh. He was the flower. When? What? Why am I spacing on his name? I've drawn a whole blank here. Wow.
It's the goalie for the Penguins?
He was the goalie for the Penguins, and now he's with the Vegas Golden Knights. Oh, man. Big. He was a big part of their Stanley Cup runs. Those two that they got. Why am I blanking? This is bad.
Oh, Fleury. Marc-Andre Fleury. Yeah.
Marc-Andre Fleury. So Jerry was backing him up. You know, they got some good players on the back line. But obviously really, really strong there. Still up with their four, you know, with Crosby and Malkin. I got them second. Third, I got the New York Islanders. They're still bringing back the same young, hungry team that they had last year. I believe Barry Trotz still is their head coach. I'm not entirely sure here. But I really like the core that they're bringing back as well. And I had, for the fourth, I had Philadelphia Flyers. I feel like they're going to, I feel like they're going to make some good noise coming back as well. Yeah, Barry Trotz is still their head coach for the New York Islanders. So, you know, we've seen what Barry Trotz has done with the Capitals. He won a cup with them. You know, he's very strong-minded coach. I believe he's got what it takes to have the Islanders make some noise. And then, obviously, like I said, with Philadelphia, they're getting a really strong team up front, too, as well. They had some really good showings in their first two games. I like what I see out of them. What were your picks?
I really like Philadelphia, but...
Yeah.
I'm going to say my number one is I'm going to go Caps. I like what I saw today with Alex. He hasn't lost a step, I don't think, at all.
Mr. Crossing the sauce.
Backhand, that was some good stuff today. I like the Caps. I like the Flyers, and I do like the Islanders. I like the first game. I was like, hell yeah! But then I think they played the Rangers and just got smacked, right?
Well, yeah, they smacked up the Rangers the first night, and then they got smacked by the Rangers nights later. Yeah, they both kind of smacked each other around there. It was a great back and forth there for the first two games. But the Rangers, like, the Rangers are such a borderline team. Like, they have great players in Zibanejad and Antti Panarin, and they have a really good young core there, but I just think they still need that one solid defenseman on their back line. And obviously, just Turkin is, he's hot and cold at goalie. We've seen that. I think they need a good, solid goaltender. Like, losing Lundqvist was huge for them. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a huge loss for them. Just Turkin, you know, I don't know really his experience. I doubt it's very high at the NHL level, so it's going to obviously take getting used to for him. But, like, the Rangers are that borderline team, too. I don't know, man, if that line with Zibanejad and Panarin gets going really good, I mean, they could sneak in and steal that fourth spot as well.
And I do like Pittsburgh. I think this could be a really close 1-2-3-4. Maybe a close 2-3-4 for sure. I think that's Pittsburgh's going to be in there. Philly, Washington, and the Islanders. I think those are the four teams. It's hard for me to say. I do think it's going to be Washington number one. But 2-3-4, either to be Islanders, Pittsburgh, or Philly. It's one of those.
Yeah, yeah. Obviously, and I mean, you know, it's hard, too. Like Buffalo's still got a really good core. They still got Jack Eichel. And, you know, I mean, they don't have Evander Kane anymore, but... You know, they're still very good with the young team there. I mean, New Jersey's been showing out pretty damn good. They shocked the Bruins the other morning. I was watching that. You know, had a nice little OT thriller there. I mean, it's hard to tell, obviously, in the beginning. That's why these are predictions, and they're at the very beginning of the season. It's very hard to tell. But, I mean, man, it just that's a tough division. It's going to be super, super competitive for sure. I mean, you talk about a division basically 1-8, and it's just kind of like anybody could, especially with the little amount of travel and all of that into consideration. I mean, it's kind of known in basketball, hockey, and baseball. All it takes is that last month to that last 2 weeks of the season for a team to absolutely catch fire and they creep their way in as a wild card and or lower seeded in into the playoffs, and they get that continuity going and there's just no stopping them.
Yeah. Any team could make a run for sure, especially in the last 2 months. If everything's pretty close, it's anybody's game. Momentum.
Absolutely. By the
momentum is key.
Very, super key. By the way, did you see that? Did you see that? Like, absolutely middle finger backhand by Crosby the first night. Like the goalie came out the net, tried to play it out, and Crosby just intercepts the pass after he plays it out and just flips it right in the net.
Oh no, I did not see that.
It's an absolute middle finger, like you know, he's just one of those guys you can't lay off for a second. You just really can't. And
he's too good.
Too good, man. Yeah, I mean, these guys now. I mean, you know, from a lot of players that I used to hear, like you know, in the off season, you wouldn't skate for like 2 months. Now it's like they don't ever stop. Like they're skating at least once or twice a week all year round.
Yep.
These guys are machines, essentially now, and especially between you know Crosby and Ovechkin, there's no love lost there for sure. So I mean, it's just absolutely amazing. Some of the plays and the saves from the first week were, holy God, were just absolutely amazing.
I like how the first week we had a lot of high scoring games too. I feel like that'll bring more attention instead of, you know, boring 1-0, 2-0, 1-0, you know. I like the 6-2. Well, right now it's good. Florida just scored again, so it's 5-2. So look at that, they're at 7. I mean, and this is like consistent nights where they're just everyone's scoring.
Yeah, it seems like that. I mean, obviously, and then Colorado hangs an 8 spot on St. Louis. You know, 8-0. It was just an absolute, like, slaughter right there. And yeah, I mean, there's definitely a lot of scoring going on, and that's good. That's good. It's, it brings, like, you know, it's just like a saying goes, defense wins championships, but offense sells tickets.
Yeah.
It really does. Everybody likes to see a home run derby more than they like to see a rubber match in a pitching battle.
Yes, exactly.
At least I know I do. I don't know about anybody else, but
everybody does, but pitching coaches.
Right.
They're the ones
that don't like that. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, I kind of didn't really even. Usually we'd probably have 3 stars of the week and then our bag skate of the week, but I can't really think of you know any 3 stars other than the obvious. I mean, you know, Ovechkin, you know, he's got his 707th goal today. That puts him one behind 7th all time on the all time goal list and puts him one step closer inevitably breaking Wayne Gretzky's all time goal record. But I mean, you know, I don't know, I guess the whole Colorado Avalanche first line for just absolutely annihilating the Blues in that second game. You know, I guess we can go there. They absolutely just took it to the Blues. I don't know. Do you got any, like, particular teams or players you'd like to zone out or play out for the first week just to kind of call them out?
Yeah.
No worries.
I want to call the Ducks. I'm pissed off. Man, it's that
backskate
second.
The Ducks?
That second game should have been ours. Should be 1-1 on the season. The Knights.
I feel you, man, because especially like they played such really good defense for the first 50 minutes of that hockey game. It was like right as soon as 10 minutes broke in that third period, I don't know if they just got exhausted. I don't know what happened. It just like it broke really down really quick. Mm-hmm. It completely collapsed. I mean, I don't know what else to say about it because it's like they're up 1-0 and then all of a sudden it's 1-1 I guess Vegas tied it at the right at the last second, right? Like 3-4 seconds left in regulation. They pulled the goalie, right? They pull Fleury.
Yeah. And they scored. Yeah,
they pulled Fleury with the extra attacker. They scored. And then like 7 seconds after that, roll into overtime and bang, it's over.
Yeah.
Pacioretty gets the game winner. Like, wow. That was just, it was like so instantaneous. And you're just kind of just sitting there throwing your hands up like, what the hell just happened?
That's exactly what I did. I was like, here we go. Like, OT. And what? I was like, did that just happen?
Right, yeah, you just kind of left like, what the hell just happened?
Yeah, I'd rather lose a 2-1 in the third than going to OT and lose it like that.
I mean, you're kind of happy because your team gains a point. You know, it's I guess, to accentuate a positive or have some moral victory on that end. But, I mean, at least you didn't lose out on any points. And that's, as we know in the NHL, it's what matters. But yeah, just to have it fall apart that quick is just, it's really concerning.
For sure.
But yeah, I mean, anything else you'd like to touch on before we get out of here? Or?
No, I think that's about it. I mean, I don't know if you want to tell them what our plan is. What are we trying to drop every episode? What days or anything like that?
Right, so the plan I had is basically just kind of go over what happened in the previous week. NHL, just kind of maybe go through some interesting stories during the season. You know, kind of give our thoughts, a few predictions, you know, on some games, just in case you're kind of into that, like to put a little money on the games. You know, our three stars, our bag skates, our, you know, just some interesting stories we found. And then obviously, in the off season, I want to try and get more into like the history of the game. Obviously, we're going to have a little bit more of a juicier off season this year with the Seattle Kraken coming in and being able to do the expansion draft and the actual draft. But yeah, I mean, just kind of going on as the season goes on and just giving our reactions and kind of like our just highlighting stuff from that we enjoyed and we're seeing from that week of the season.
Cool. And so we're trying to drop one once a week, right?
Yeah, it was just once a week. I would like to do it every Tuesday.
Okay.
Every Tuesday would be great because gives me a little bit of time to edit and do what I need to do and to get it out to the people and make sure it gets out on time.
Nice. And then we have an Instagram. You guys can go follow that, Central Ice Podcast. I believe it's all just one word, right?
Yeah. Let me look here. Let me take a few seconds to look. I didn't
sure.
really. Man, I don't know why I don't write all this stuff down. I'm so unprepared.
It's all right. Jesus. But yeah, follow us on Instagram too. We throw up free daily picks for NHL. The first week we went 4-1-1, so we made some money for sure. We throw that up on the Instagram. BaselineTimes.com. Go ahead and check that out.
Please do.
We have a bunch of analysts on there, NBA, football, all kinds of stuff, free picks, just whatever you can think of, we have it there. We have a Discord if you guys want to check out all our picks from basketball, football, soccer, all that. We have guys that pick winners all the time. Yeah, I guess that's pretty much it.
So yeah, with the Instagram, yeah, it's just Central Ice Podcast. I mean, you can look that up on Instagram. For Twitter, I believe our name, our Twitter handle there is @CentralIce. You can follow us there. I don't know if my personal Instagram account is jcase91. That is as well as my Twitter as well. You can follow me there as well. But yeah, that's pretty much it for us. I mean, I think we're going to get on out of here.
Cool. Yeah, just go ahead and check out our website, if anything, baselinetimes.com. Yeah. And we'll have another episode up next week. Yeah, right. Next week.
Yeah, next Tuesday. Next Tuesday, we'll see you right then again.
All right. Sounds good.
All right, everybody. Thank you very much for joining me, Arian. I appreciate it. Hopefully the episodes get better as we go on. Obviously they will.
Oh yeah, we're going to iron things out. It's the first one.
Absolutely. But thank you very much, everybody, for joining us. Please stay safe and see you around.
See you later.